Today I'm going to talk about how we're hung by our own tongue. I wish you could see a visual of this. Somebody with a long tongue just wrapped around their throat and hung by their tongue. That's what's happening to us. I'm going to explain this in a way that it'll help you today, so stay tuned for the Gospel Truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I've been on now for, this is into my sixth week of teaching on the subject of God Wants You Well. This coming Friday will be our last day to offer you all of the materials that we've been offering on the subject of healing. And I really believe that this could make a huge difference in your life. I really believe that. I know that this is an area that every person needs help in. You know, we spend billions and billions and billions of dollars on all of these health aids and medication and surgeries and all of these things. And I'm telling you, I'm not saying that those things are wrong in their place. They're okay. But if we would put 1/1,000,000th the effort into studying the Word of God and renewing our mind and believing the Word of God that we put into all of this other stuff, I guarantee you we would be much healthier. It would be much cheaper. You would do much better. There isn't any reason that we have to be as dependent upon the physical, natural things for healing as what most people are. Now again, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I do not believe that doctors are of the devil. You know, I've got a doctor, one of the leading surgeons in Shreveport, Louisiana, that's on my board of directors, and he was just here. We had our annual board meeting. He's a great guy. I love him. I am not against doctors. If it wasn't for doctors, all of the Christians would have been dead because they certainly hadn't been believing God. But I'm saying that they are not, we don't have to be as dependent upon them as what people are. You know, even in my lifetime, just my brief lifetime, I remember when I was a kid, you didn't go to the doctor unless you were nearly dead. You didn't go to the doctor for everything. Today, people, if they have a headache, if they get a cold, if they get the flu, they go to the emergency room. It is just unbelievable that people basically have no ability to cope with anything. They don't even ride it out in the natural. I mean, they just look to a pill to fix every problem in their life. If they have an emotional up or down, there's a pill to deal with that. I'm saying that that stuff is wrong. It is wrong, wrong, wrong. We do not have to go that route. If we would just put, if you would go to the effort of taking this teaching that I've given on the subject of healing and implementing this in your life, it would make a huge difference. Now, for the last few days, I've been talking about the laws that govern faith. We've been teaching from Mark chapter 5 about this woman that came in a press of people, a multitude of people, and she reached down and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and the power of God just flowed through His clothes, through His robe, right into her, and she was healed of this issue of blood. And Jesus didn't even know who it was that touched Him. Now, the significance of that is He didn't size her up. He didn't evaluate her and say, all right, I'll let this healing flow towards you. It illustrates that the healing power of God, or you could say the faith of God, the anointing of God, the kingdom of God just operates off of laws. When you cooperate with those laws, boom, the power of God flows and is manifest. If you don't cooperate with those laws, you block the flow of God's power. And even though God loves you and wants you well, these laws that govern how His power operates can actually work against you, so that even though He wants you well, He will not break His laws. He will not become unjust. He will not violate what He said out of His own mouth. Therefore, it is necessary that we learn what these laws are and learn how to cooperate with them. Just for time's sake, let me go back and say that out of Mark chapter 5, I've established just a few. We talked about three laws. We talked about how that you first of all have to hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. We talked about faith without works is dead, James chapter 2 and verse 20. Those are two laws. You got to hear And most people don't understand how important that is to faith, to the flow of God's power. So therefore, they spend very little time hearing God's Word, and they just let all of the sewage of the world flow through them and don't even recognize how that affects their faith. But beyond hearing, you've got to do. You've got to put faith, motion to your boat. You got to act on your faith. We talked about that. And the last thing that we began to start talking about yesterday and ran out of time was that you have to voice activate your faith. This woman in Mark chapter 5 says, if, she said within herself, if I may touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And so I want to focus on that for just a moment. Here's a passage of scripture out of Proverbs chapter 18. And in verse 20, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. You know, I actually spent an hour and a half one time teaching on that one verse. There's a lot in there that I haven't got time to bring out today. But look at these words. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. These are using words to paint pictures that just like a seed springs up and produces fruit, it bears fruit. Words, every word that comes out of your mouth is like a seed that is going to produce something. And eventually, you're going to eat it. It will enter into your own belly. That's what these saying. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. If you could somehow or another just imagine that every word that comes out of your mouth, it's like spitting seeds. Amen. As you go through every day, as you go through your life, every word that you speak is like spitting a seed that is eventually going to grow up and either be a thorn or a briar that causes you problems, or it's going to be something fruitful that will bless you and enrich your life. And not only every word that you speak, but every word out of every person's mouth is like that. So it's not only important that you speak correctly, but it's important what you listen to, and don't let other people spit seeds in your path that are going to cause you problems. Boy, there's a lot I could say about that. In verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Boy, that is one radical verse. Death and life. Notice it didn't say death and life and a whole lot of insignificant things that don't produce either good or bad are in the power of the tongue. No, it puts everything into two categories. It's either death or it's life. Your words release either death or life. You know, again, I know that many of you have heard these things. I know this because I deal with a lot of people. And when I tell people these things, it's not that they haven't heard this. They've been exposed to it. It's just that most people don't believe this. Most of you are listening to me right now, and you're saying, oh, well, yeah, I see that's in Scripture. But you know what? Most people don't believe this. And you can prove it by the words that you speak and by the words that you let be spoken to you and over you. If you really believe this verse, that every word, not only your word, but every word that you ever listen to is either death or life. No in between. It's either releasing the power of God or it's releasing the power of the devil. Every word that you speak, every word that you listen to, if you really, really believe that, I guarantee you, you would talk differently than you do. If you really believe that your words, whatever you say, would come to pass, there's some of you that would quit saying some of the things that you say. You know, somebody asks you, how are you? And boy, you just immediately start telling them how you feel. And you start talking about all of the negative things. And then you project what you believe is going to happen. And just like I said on yesterday's program, you are hung by your own tongue. You know, I wished you could somehow or another get a visual of that, man. I wish we had the ability to take a cartoon drawing and show a person with this long tongue wrapped around his own throat and hung by the tongue. Because that's exactly what many of you are doing to yourself. You are killing yourself with the words that you speak. And you're saying, but all I'm doing is saying what I feel. You know, the Bible says over in Mark chapter 11, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I'm going to go ahead and use this verse because it just fits here. But in Mark chapter 11 And in verse 23, Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." This says you have to believe that what you are saying is coming to pass. If you want to have the kind of faith that Jesus had, that he could just talk to a fig tree, never touch it, never throw anything on it, not do anything in the physical realm except speak words. And those words killed this fig tree so that within 12 hours, this fig tree had just shriveled up and dried up from the roots. If you want that kind of miraculous power, the Bible says you have to believe that the words that you speak are coming to pass. And I tell you, there is not one out of a million people today that put that kind of an importance on words. Most people just say all kinds of stupid things, say silly things. If we were to say something and hurt somebody's feelings, we'd say, "Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it." And because you didn't mean it, you think it's okay. See, words to us just don't mean anything. Even if you write it in a contract and sign your name to it, if you got a good lawyer, you can make it so that words don't amount to anything. Most people, their words are not important to them. You know, I just recently had a situation happen where I told some people, I said, "This is my last, final, best offer." And I made it very clear, put everything in writing. We went through some things and they decided, "Nope, don't want it." About 6 months later, I was talking to them and they were asking some things, and they basically asked for that same job that I had offered them and that they turned down. And I said, "But it sounds to me like you're asking for what you already turned down." And they said, "Yeah, we are." Says, "I think I made a mistake." And they just wanted me to rescind it. And I've thought about it, and some people will argue with me on this. I hadn't got time to explain my situation. That's not my point. But you know what? I'm just saying that I've thought about it, and I said, you know, I meant what I said. It was my last, my final, my best offer. I can't just sit there and say, "Well, let's redo it. Let's go over this and let's change things." You know what? The Bible says that a godly man will swear to his own hurt and change not. And I made a decision and I said it and I thought about it before I said it. And if I was to just say, "Well, King's X, let's go over and let's change this," you know, it would not only change that one situation that I'm dealing with, it would change a lot of things. For one thing, it would confuse my own heart. I would get to the place that, well, I don't mean what I'm saying. I don't believe what I'm saying. And you know what? It would affect me when I go to speaking to sickness and when I go to speaking to disease and when I go to speaking to the devil. I don't know if I communicated that well, but see, most of us live a lifestyle to where we just use vain words. We say anything and everything. And if what we say turns out not to be something that we really like, well, then we'll just switch. Many people will lie about it. Many people will try and disguise it. "Oh, no, that's not what I really said." And you know what? Words to most of us just don't mean much. We don't put much faith in it. And that's the reason that our words are not having the power that God intended them to have. Now, they still have power, but the power now is working against us instead of for us. If you want the kind of power that you can speak to sickness and command it to leave your body, and you can speak and command the supernatural power of God, you're going to have to get to a place where you start placing a value, a worth, an importance on words, that every word that comes out of your mouth, you're going to recognize it's either releasing death or it's releasing life. And if you would categorize everything that you're saying and start saying, "Well, man, I don't want what I'm saying. I don't want to sit here and, you know, somebody says, 'How are you doing?' and say, 'Well, I think I'm dying.' Do you want to die? Is that what you're believing for?" "Oh, no, that's not what I'm believing for, but that's what I feel." Notice in this verse that I just read, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, it says, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." This verse says you can have what you say. Or, here's what most people live, they say what they have. I don't know if you got the difference between that, but that's a huge difference. Are you the kind of person that's just going to say what you have? You're just going to say what you feel. You're going to say what the doctor says. You're going to say what the banker says. You're going to say what your doubt and unbelief says. You're going to let circumstances and situations dictate to you. And you're just going to say, well, this is the way it is. You can live your life saying what you have, or you can move into the realm of faith and begin to believe the power that's in words, and you can begin to speak and not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things that you say will come to pass. And if you'll do that, then it says, you shall have whatsoever you say. Huge difference between having what you say and saying what you have. 99.9999% of all people, including Christians, say what they have. But if you want to start walking in the supernatural power of God, specifically we've been applying everything here to the subject of healing, and if you want to see healing work in your life, you are going to start having to say what you believe, and then you will have what you say. Boy, those are two different things. That's powerful. And again, I just know that there's people. I know this because I deal with so many people. And I know that there are people watching this who you say, well, maybe words are a little more important, and but I don't want to become a fanatic. I don't know how to say this any other way, but you aren't going to walk in the supernatural healing power of God unless you get fanatical. And many of you say, well, I don't want to be that way. Well, be sick then. God's not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. You can go to heaven and be sick, and you can even get there quicker. But I'm just telling you that this is a law of God. Again, many of you sit there, and I know you're critical of me because what I'm saying is so contrary to what most of religion says today. And so there is a lot of criticism. There's a lot of hesitancy to embrace what I'm saying. And yet, I am seeing better results in the area of healing than 99.9% of you are. I mean, I am seeing supernatural results, even to the point of seeing blind eyes open, deaf ears open, people raised from the dead, walking in health. And I'm telling you that one of the main things, in my estimation, you could sit there and disagree with me, but until you get better results, you ought to at least consider this. And I'm telling you, one of the main things that God has shown me that has made a huge difference in the way I receive from God is this area of words. I'm fanatical about it. I'm uncompromising on it. You know, Jamie and I, we drive into the office, and where I get most of my news, I hardly ever watch TV and get news from there. Where I get my news is on the radio in little 2 and 3 minute bites, because it's just hard for them to do very much damage in a little 2 or 3 minute deal. But even then, I'll hear some things come up, and people say things like, it's flu season, and here's what's going around, here's what's common, and they'll begin to start speaking things. And again, I go back to Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. If I sit there and just listen to that stuff and embrace it, that, well, it's flu season, it's time for us to get sick, here's what everybody else is getting, and if I just listen to that stuff, it hinders me from receiving and walking in the supernatural power of God. And I know some of you have a total disconnect with what I'm saying right here. You're saying you are absolutely out there in la-la land. You are thinking that it has something to do with what you believe and all of these kind of things. It has nothing to do with that. It's just a matter of whether you get around somebody that has the virus, the bug, or not. And if you do, you get it. If you don't, you won't. Again, I could show you so many instances. I remember a time in Ireland that everybody I was traveling with in the car was sick and had the flu, and I just stood there and believed God and spoke the Word of God, and I stayed well when my own wife had the flu. I'm not condemning her or anything. I'm just saying that I was exposed to it, and yet I was able to walk in health. And that night I saw two totally blind girls that had never seen in their life. Their eyes were open and they saw their mother for the very first time. 15 people were born again as a result because I knew of these principles, and I refused to sit there and accept that just in the natural, these are physical things and you have to have it. I'm telling you, you can overcome by the word of your mouth, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You can overcome with your words. I remember just recently over in Germany this last year that I was there, and every single person on our team that we were traveling with got sick, and I stood there and believed God and taught on the word of God. And because of it, I was able to minister and see other people get set free. You can sit there and disconnect and disbelieve this. And I know that what I'm saying is outside of the mainstream. It's not like I've got my head in the sand. But I also know this, that most people aren't getting good results in this area of healing. I am. It's not perfect results. I'm not saying that. I haven't arrived, but I've left. And I'm just telling you that if you like the results, then you ought to just somehow or another recognize that if you want different results than what you're getting, you're going to have to do or believe something differently. And some of you are so afraid to change. Some of you are so afraid to just move off of this humanistic approach that everything is totally organic. It's all physical. There is no faith. There's no spiritual involved in anything. It's just all a physical, organic thing. And that's where you are looking to for all of your health and all of your help. I'm telling you that that is a part of the equation, but it's a relatively minor part, that there are laws that govern how the power of God operates. You got to hear. You got to start doing what the Word of God says, and you have to voice activate your faith. And unbelief is also voice activated. You have to turn off, limit the words that are spewing all of this sickness into your life and all of this unbelief and all of this negative stuff. You have to start speaking forth these words, and then you start having what you say instead of saying what you have. These are Jesus' own words to us. This is Jesus' teaching on how it worked. You know, I'm out of time again today. Seems like I'm always out of time, but tomorrow I'm going to go back in to Mark chapter 11, and I'm going to show you how Jesus displayed this powerful, powerful miracle that was caused by His faith. When His disciples saw it, they said, "Tell us how this happened." And He begins to tell them how He was able to produce this miracle, and it will apply directly to you, and it all revolves around the words that you say. This is a powerful truth. Again, let me just say that I am not insensitive to the fact that what I'm saying is different than what most of you hear. I know that that's true. And there are some of you that, because I'm so far out of the mainstream on this, you just don't, you don't want to go there. You don't want to get to a place to where you don't blend in. I would like to really encourage you to change that attitude. Because if you would also look over there along in the mainstream, most people are sick. Most people are suffering. Most people are absolutely powerless to be able to deal with the hardship that life brings to them. And if you are afraid of getting out of the mainstream in what you believe, then you are not going to get out of the mainstream in the results that you get. I don't care how much you pray, how much you beg God for help, how much you go and let other people lay hands on you. They can lay hands on you until they rub all the hair off the top of your head. And you aren't going to walk in divine health until you start changing some things that you believe. So even though this may be different for you, I challenge you to go to the Word of God. And if it's what the Word of God says, then let God be true and every man a liar. You know, I am going to continue this teaching on our program tomorrow, so I'd like to encourage you to listen in then. And also, we are drawing to the end of this teaching on God Wants You Well. So all of the materials I'm offering on this are coming to a close on this Friday. Listen as our announcer gives you that information and call or write today.
Andrew's teaching titled, God Wants You Well, has impacted thousands of people, producing miracles of healing around the world. We've collected 5 miracle stories in 1 DVD that will inspire you and supercharge your faith. You'll witness the powerful recovery of Nikki Oshinsky after a 5-year illness, plus a brand new interview filmed 7 years later. You'll be inspired by the Petersons' year-long journey to see their son Jason receive a dramatic healing, and Shirley Vaughn's fight for total health against a lifelong digestive disorder. Rejoice at Leslie and Mary Decker's healings from asthma and the Terades family's journey to seeing their daughter Hannah snatched from the jaws of death. The DVD is titled Healing Journeys Volume 1, and it's available for a gift of any amount when you request item number T3005D. The teaching that lies behind each of these miracles is Andrew's four-part album titled God Wants You Well. It's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for album T1036 and be sure to specify whether you'd like a CD album or a DVD album made from our television programs. The fourth teaching in the series is also available for a donation. But if you're unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. Request teaching TI4 titled The Laws of Faith when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online. Plus, there's a wealth of free ministry material at www.awmi.net. Or you can use credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Little Rock, Arkansas for a men's conference August 28th and 29th at Agape Church on August 30th, in Charlotte, North Carolina, September 13th through the 18th, and in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 19th and 20th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Jamie and I would like to give all of the ministers watching our program a very special invitation to join us for our ministers' conference. It's going to be held at our facility in Colorado Springs, and I tell you, it is just an awesome time of fellowship and ministry directly from the Lord.
I want to give a special invitation to the wives of the ministers, whether you're evangelists, missionaries, whatever. We really want the wives to come and enjoy the blessings of the Lord with her husband.
It is not just an informational conference where we give you skills about how to do things. It's inspirational, where we minister to you. Praise and worship is special. I guarantee you it'll be a great time, so make plans to join us the first week of October, right at our facility in Colorado Springs for our ministers' conference.
And we'll see you there.
Coming to Charis Bible College this fall, the School of Worship and Music Ministry with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs. The teaching of the word of God that we've sat under in the Andrews ministry has really influenced our writing so much. And you just, it changes you because the word changes you, has power to change you. The blending of our ministries together, what a joy for us, because to work with a ministry like Andrew and Jamie that love God's word and they love worship.
New this fall at Charis Bible College, the School of Worship and Music Ministry with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc. Call or write for more information. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.